Cinebuds receives support from Associated Bank.
Cinebuds, Cinebuds, two buddies talking about cinema.
From Milwaukee Film, I'm Christopher Pollard.
From Radio Milwaukee, I'm Dori Zori.
And this is Cinebuds. And this week on Cinebuds, we're talking about the new Ghostbusters film, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
We're going to need all the help we can get.
Let's get to work.
It's all dark and horny at 12 o'clock.
I've been waiting 40 years for this.
They called themselves Ghostbusters.
According to these hacks, they saved the world.
No eyewitnesses. And who is found to carry the torch?
Descendants of Egon Spengler.
You have a miner hanging out the side of a moving vehicle, firing a laser gun indiscriminately.
It has a proton pack.
It's completely safe.
I wouldn't say completely safe.
The Ghostbusters are finished.
So there's a new Ghostbusters in town.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And it is the one, so there's been a lot of Ghostbusters.
There has been a lot of Ghostbusters.
These are the two recent ones. This is the second of the new reboot.
A follow-up to Ghostbusters Afterlife,
yeah.
Which I believe to really get your full effect of this Ghostbusters, you should probably check that one out first.
Yeah, you could watch the new one and, you know, it's fine, but all the roots are in the Afterlife film, which was from like 3 years ago.
True, true, true. Also, I think it's important to mention that this is the first where Ivan Reitman has not directed or consulted or produced because he passed away in 2022. But his son, Jason, kind of takes over. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the podcast.
It's very sweet.
It's kind of beautiful.
Yeah. And there's always the Afterlife, too. They had a really lovely memorial, essentially, in the film. And, you know, officially for Harold Ramis, who's one of the only Ghostbuster who has passed.
Yes.
And in this one, they at the end, I think it said for Ivan, which was really nice, too. So it's kind of a sweet little memorial, both of these films for two of the creators.
This film also had a mix of old and new Ghostbusters. And if you like the mythology that they always weave into these films, there's a bit of that, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I really liked Afterlife. So I just saw Afterlife for the first time maybe a month ago.
Ooh, I can't wait to talk to you about that in a podcast because that's not fresh in my mind anymore.
Yeah. So we watched that. And so when the new one was coming out, I was like, oh, okay, this is great. We'll get into it because I really liked Afterlife.
Oh.
But did I like this one? We don't know yet.
You're going to have to listen to the full podcast where we will also do my favorite thing. Hot off Easter, there were Easter eggs I want to talk about and maybe some spoilers, but we won't do that to you right now. You'll have to listen to the full podcast to hear those.
So to listen to that, stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, Wisconsin foodies. This is Tariq Moody of Radio Milwaukee. Join Milwaukee Magazine's food writer Ann Christensen and myself every Friday morning at 8 a.m. for This Bites, Milwaukee's longest running culinary podcast. We talk about everything from new restaurants, pop-ups, cookbooks, events, and even an occasional interview with the local chef. Head over to radiomilwaukee.org/thisbites or listen anywhere you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
And we're back. Okay, before we get into Frozen Empire, tell me a little bit more about, you just watched Afterlife a month ago.
Ghostbusters Afterlife, when it came out, I have, you know, an aversion to reboots and remakes and stuff, especially for stuff that's darling to me.
Yeah.
And Ghostbusters, like the first two, I would say.
It's your sweet, precious baby.
Yeah, I love that. Those movies are perfect to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, we don't need it. We don't need it. But to my surprise, Ghostbusters Afterlife was really interesting. Like it had a different, it was still funny and it still had ghosts. But it did seem, it had a very different setting. It was all out in a small town and it had a different tone, like visually and like to the movie than the originals did, which was interesting and I think successful because it set it apart while also making a ton of allusions and continuing the story.
I liked it. Do you have any sense that that movie was made that way to set up this next movie? Or do you think that they were waiting to see what the success rate of that one was before they started working on?
I feel like all movies are made to hopefully these days, oh, let's hope it's a franchise.
That's what the big wigs want,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they got a big cigar. And they're like, what a franchise. See? And then, but then they're like, hold off. Let's see how it does. So I think both.
Nice.
That's my guess.
That's a good guess.
That is, by the way, how I think all Hollywood meetings sound like.
They do. And the bonus of, I mean, there's a lot of great actors in this movie that were also in The Afterlife. I mean, yeah. Paul Rudd. Can we just talk about,
he's
such a
good
darling.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that doesn't dig Paul Rudd?
No, I think if you don't, you're just trying really hard and you'll get over it.
Yeah, just get over
it's
yourself.
A phase.
He's lovely. This movie comes out 40 years after the original film, which is impossible because I'm not that old.
I know. Yeah, that math's got to be wrong.
I think so.
Let's not double check it. Let's just assume it's wrong.
No, don't worry about that.
Yeah, it's got great people. So the first one, like the, I say first one, I mean Afterlife.
Afterlife.
First of this little chunk. Had great actors in it and some people I hadn't seen much of yet, and it was really cool. And then in Frozen Empire, they're like, let's throw 100 more people that people like in it.
I was squealing with delight at all the pop-ups and references to the original, the first two films that came out 40 and 35 years ago. I mean, you kind of expect that that's going to happen, but you don't necessarily get a guarantee. And then when they do, is it going to be a groaner? Are you super fan going to be excited by all those things?
Yeah. Very similar to when, this is a really fun comparison, 21 Jump Street, the film came out.
Yes. Oh, I loved that.
And you did get a Johnny Depp and a Doug DeLuise. What is his? DeLuise is his.
Dom DeLuise. Oh, Dom DeLuise's son.
Yeah, whose name I can't remember.
Junior.
But, DeLuise Junior. They were both in it. And then there were like I think the other two were in it as well. One of them was just on a TV in the background, which I noticed. So like all four of the original 21 Jump Street folks were in there in some fashion. But yeah, then you get in this one, in Frozen Empire, everyone's in it.
Yeah.
Oh, like really all the major people that you remember are in it.
Yeah.
Except for, I guess,
Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver and the Keymaster.
The Keymaster.
Whose name I'm blanking on right now.
I'm like, how much of a podcast silence will people listen to while I wait for you to remember his name?
And I'm sad that I have to look it up because he's...
His name is Doug McKenzie.
Oh.
No, just kidding.
But it is Doug DeLuise. No, it's not Doug DeLuise. I'm going back. Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis. The CPA that turns into...
yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've got Annie Potts. Mm-hmm. You've got Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd. Ernie Hudson?
Dude, Ernie Hudson just...
He looks 45 years of age and he is 78.
He looks younger than everybody.
And have you seen, there's a picture of him was going around in like a t-shirt at the premiere or something. He is cut. He looks like a superhero.
Give me that regimen of exercise and diet.
I mean, he's astounding and he's great in it. He plays like a big deal in it.
Also, William, is it Atherton?
Yes.
Oh, that was fun to see him again, who is now the mayor of New York City. Still wanting to dismantle the Ghostbusters. He doesn't believe in them.
William Atherton, you know what I thought would have been fun in this movie is to have his character have come around and be a fan, because I almost feel bad for that actor because he always plays a really just sinister, awful bad guy, really smug.
And you know,
and he was perfect in the first one, but I thought, wouldn't it be fun if he was like, but he wasn't. He wasn't.
No. I always wonder too, like with people like myself who sometimes get actors and real people mixed up in real life. Like,
oh, yeah.
How much does he get screamed at on the streets because of the roles?
There's always those tough people, yeah, who can't put the poor Billy A. Put Billy A.
I do love McKenna Grace, who plays Phoebe, who is the granddaughter of Harold Ramis's character, Spangler.
Yeah.
I love how they made her look in the last movie. I love how she acted and looked in this movie. And there were so many fun little things that they did where like she was fighting ghosts, and at the end her hair was like all blown up and back, just like,
oh yeah,
just like the character in the original was so delightful.
There are some nice. So what Easter eggs did you see?
Okay, so
we're not even saying if we liked it yet.
No, we're gonna wait. I think they can probably tell that we probably really liked it.
I did not.
Oh really?
Oh, that's a spoiler. That's a spoily. But we'll get to it.
We'll come back to it. So one of the Easter eggs, you know, Sigourney Weaver's character was not in it, Dana, but in the scene outside of the library, there was a poster hanging up for her. What did she play? The cello or whatever instrument she played for Dana so-and-so's concerto playing somewhere.
Oh my gosh.
That was in there. Dan Aykroyd, his character owns an occult bookshop or shop now, and he had a glass. Well, I don't know if this is like a Easter egg as much as he had a glass skull on the shelf, which looked very much like his liquor bottle.
Gotta be his like vodka.
Yeah,
he is chucking his vodka everywhere these days. Yeah.
And then his character also said something about that he stopped smoking in the 90s.
Yeah,
which I think is a little flashback to in the first two movies. He smoked a lot of cigarettes in the film, and then a cigar even in the second Ghostbuster.
Oh, really?
So, which I would imagine at some point he's, I think that was kind of funny that he made.
That is funny.
But Easter eggs, what else? Oh, Cannibal Girls.
Oh yeah, what's that?
So there was.
I remember it from the Frozen Empire when they mentioned it.
Yeah, they were like, "Let's watch a movie," and they pull out a Cannibal Girls film.
Yeah.
So that is the second movie that Ivan Reitman ever made in 1973.
You're kidding. That's a good one.
And so not only was that Ivan Reitman's real life movie, but in Ghostbusters 2 and Afterlife, both had a scene where there was like a cinema, and on the marquee of the cinema, it was showing Cannibal Girls.
Oh my gosh, that's a really fun one. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. And then just some throwbacks, you know, the librarian ghost.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, and then Slimer, of course, is back, which is nice.
Slimer's back and just hungrier than ever.
That is, we'll dig in a little bit.
Okay.
I loved all the references. Like, they did an Afterlife as well. They had references to the first one, which were really great. And it takes place, you know, in time, like 40 years after the film that's where the film takes place. And in the Afterlife, it's so interesting because it's a small town. And so you having a different location, and that changes things up. And you're introducing all these new characters that are connected, but still their own thing, which is great. So now you have them all established. Then in the Frozen Empire, you throw them into the original setting, which is New York.
They're back at the firehouse.
They're back in the firehouse. Mm-hmm. They got the Ecto-1 and they're connected. And I do like it. But part of me, when I was watching it, I had a vague disconnect from a lot of it.
Ooh.
And I think my main problem with the film is they tried to shoehorn in so much stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the references are great, but it took time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of new characters. So now you have the original cast, you got the new cast, and then on top of that, there was like three or four other characters that they're throwing in. Not huge, but there's also like, I think like four or five subplots, sort of. Like a relationship between Paul Rudd, who's now maybe their dad?
Yeah, seems like a stepdad.
Seems like he's a stepdad. Him and the kids, and how that's him and his wife, which is really fun. Actually, really good chemistry with those two. Reminded me of me and my wife, honestly.
Oh, nice.
A lot of jokey, a lot of high fives. and then you have a plot line with a ghost girl and the main and Mackenzie. And then you've got the fire master. There's going on. And every time they bring in one of the old Ghostbusters, there's a scene or two where you have to establish that.
That's
within
true.
2 hours, it just was so much that I felt like it didn't really get to build on one of those very much.
You know, I do not disagree with that, because there were times during the movie where, you know, the best part of most Ghostbusters movies are just the busting of the ghosts, right? Sure, the action sequences and what they can do now with CGI and everything's really amazing. And there was a lot that wasn't that. So I found myself being a little impatient and wanting to get more to the story. So I do get what you're saying. There were moments where some of those side stories were a lot, but then I just try to just sit back and remember, like, this is like this beautiful mythology and characters that were created when I was young. And the part about, you know, the relationships and, over, you know, being the odd man out and overcoming things, like really like diving deeper into it today, like than they used to, I think. Makes sense. But I did find myself at certain times like getting anxious for like, where's the ghost busting happening?
Where shall we bust the ghosts?
Right. Because the number one rule of ghost busting is see a ghost, bust it.
That's right.
So you wanted more of that?
Everyone knows that. I think so. I like the comedy of it built around the mythology. And in the first couple of movies, like in the 80s, were so good at that. And there's so many lines. Ernie Hudson. Honestly, there's a lot of great lines, and Ernie Hudson has one of my favorites, which is when they describe, they're comparing how big the entity will be, and they compare it to a Twinkie, and he's smoking. He goes, "That's a big Twinkie." "That's a big Twinkie" is one of my favorite lines. But in this one, they all, they brought, you know, you've got Bill Murray again, and so you're expecting that, and it just didn't land as well for me. It's weird. I was conflicted while watching because I did have that exact same sense of like joy of like, oh, it's Ernie or it's them and it's, oh, they got this back and they're referencing it. I enjoyed all that. I enjoyed the mythology of it and building on it. I just felt like it was unfortunate they couldn't spend enough time or pare it down. Like the whole, to me, I feel like the ghost girl aspect, that plot line or the fire master plot line could have been great on, but having both of them on top of reintroducing all the old Ghostbusters in at the same time, it was just too much for one movie.
There is a point during the movie where I thought, this is moving at such a slow pace. Is there going to be a second part of this, like Dune, where it ends right as the action starts? Because I thought, man, how this movie is moving at such a different pace than I expected when they get to like the big, like trying to save the world from freezing. Like, how are they going to fit that in this movie? Because it's already taken so much time getting there. So I do see what you're saying.
I feel like also this could be, some of this is me, because I, there was a moment during the movie where I was like feeling disappointed. Then I was noticing like, Kumail Nanjiani's very funny, and he's really good.
What a great addition.
And he's essentially like the Rick Moranis of this film, and whose name I finally remember. but I find myself with Bill Murray and with Kumail and a bunch of other people. They're doing their jokes. There's some really good, on paper, like, that's a good joke, but I wasn't laughing. And I was like, is this the movie, or is it just because I'm now, like, pouting? Like, I'm just disappointed in this movie, and now nothing's going to be funny to me. But I feel like on paper it was.
When I watch movies, sometimes I get it in my head it's going to be a certain way, and when it's not, I do have a hard time getting myself out of disappointment. I also can relate to that, too. There was a moment, like, one of, not the first time I got to see Bill Murray, but, like, when he was back in the firehouse, and he was, like, everyone's standing there ready for something really bad to happen, and he's got his sunglasses on. I'm just thinking, that's Bill Murray in his contract just being like, and then I'm going to have my sunglasses on for, like,
don't tell me
minutes.
Not to. I'm going to do it, probably.
You want me in this movie? I'm going to wear my sunglasses. Do you know what the number two rule of ghost busting is?
I do not.
If someone asks you if you're a god,
you tell them yes.
You tell them yes.
Yes, that is true. One of my favorite parts, speaking of that, is, and one of the references, my absolute favorite joke in the film, which I did laugh out loud at, was when Paul Rudd is talking to his wife and he keeps incorporating the lyrics of the song Ghostbusters, which she catches on to. But then he has one final, he was, you know, listen, we couldn't do this, but if you have a ghost, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters, I get it. But then he says one more thing and she goes, okay, make it quick. And he goes, it's really important. And he very casually goes, Bust It Makes Me Feel Good.
You know, I am pouting over here because that is the point where I went to the bathroom.
Oh, no.
During the movie, because I thought, oh, it's going to slow down for just a second.
Yeah.
And then I came back and both Millen and my mom were like, oh, you missed something really funny. I'm like, man.
Oh, no. That is really, that was the joke of the movie for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. So, well, I missed your favorite part of the movie.
Well, I reenacted it for you just now.
I mean, I feel like I was there.
Yeah.
I feel like I was there.
Bustin' makes me feel good.
Bustin' makes you feel good. if you're going to see this movie, see it in a theater.
Yeah.
A per use, right? I mean, I thought there was some cool stuff with the special effects.
It looks great.
It does. It really did. The garbage. Can we talk about the little, I forgot what it's called, the little spirit. Oh
yeah. He can, a little ghost that can possess any inanimate object.
Yeah. And what when it possessed the garbage bag.
Oh, that is a funny sequence.
It was trying to get away. I was just doing a little bit of digging, and not to ruin anything for anyone, but it wasn't all CGI. They actually had the garbage bag made where I think the actor could put a foot in it, his actual foot in it. And then there was some other stuff that kind of clanked around. So the garbage bag was like, you'd see it running around. That was actually a dude in the bag running around. And they just like CGI'd his body and his other leg out of it.
Oh, that's pretty clever.
Which is kind of fun, I think.
Yeah, it looks really good. Despite my cynicism, I think most, like my wife, I saw it with her. She really liked it. And I think it is a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you're, I was invested.
Yeah.
But one thing I do want to point out, one of my favorite British comedians is in this movie. He plays the redheaded, James Acaster is his name. And he plays like the assistant to Ernie Hudson's character.
Mm.
He wasn't like hilarious in it. He had a couple moments, but outside of that movie, he's one of my favorite comedians. James Acaster, he has like specials on Netflix and a great podcast called Off Menu, where they bring celebrities in, mostly British, but some, they recently had a bunch of the cast of Ghostbusters on. They come on to talk about their dream menu, like from the starter to dessert. And it's very funny podcast.
Yum. I mean, British folks, right?
Yeah.
You know, I would love also, I mean, we're talking about other plots, kind of stories taking away.
Yeah.
I would maybe watch a follow-up film about this top secret Ghostbusters lab.
Yeah.
Where they're working on future technologies on how to bust ghosts. I thought that was kind of fun.
I did too. I thought I feel like all the elements they came up with mm-hmm. were great.
Mm-hmm.
It was just too much for 2 hours. I had a friend of mine watch it and he said to me, he goes, this seemed to me like a film that had a lot of notes. Which I think is inside terms for executives got in the way.
Yeah.
Executives go, oh, we want this. Oh, and put this in here and put this in here too. We have a lot of notes for the director and producer, even though they're not the creative types.
Mm. Well, maybe someday we'll get to talk to, is it Jason Reitman?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll be able to ask that very deep and burning question.
Jason Reitman wrote it.
Wrote it.
But the director is Gil Kenan, who did Afterlife as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Also, do we finally get to see Janine Melnitz put on a Ghostbusters outfit in one of these movies and watch her bust ghosts?
Maybe.
Maybe you're going to have to go see it and find out.
Oh, I also really like the Tiny Stay Puff Marshmallow Man, which were in Afterlife, too. They were also in Afterlife.
Talk about like a...
It's essentially Minions.
It is Minions. And also, like, why aren't these little toys everywhere?
I know. Well, maybe we gotta look it up. Maybe they are. But the little Stay Puft, that was a good bit for both of these last two films. And if you stay for the cut scene afterwards, you get a little extra of them, which is fun.
As you should. Yeah, yeah, a little dude burning his face with the cigarette lighter.
It's so cute and horrific and dark at the same time.
It's not a movie for little kids. Were there little kids in the theater when you saw
it? Yeah,
there were. Me too.
And there's some scary, like the main villain is scary, really scary looking.
Very scary.
And the things that the little marshmallow men do are awful in theory, but... It comes off very cute for some reason. That may be my favorite part.
Is it because little marshmallow men can't bleed?
Yeah, they can't. They're doing awful things to themselves, but they're fine and happy.
Yay. All right, so like out of 5 stars, how many stars would you give this?
I would give it a generous 3.
Mm.
I feel like that third point is really like because you like all the... memories and references and callbacks. But there's some solid bits. Like I said, I was disappointed in the movie, but I was able to come up with a ton of great parts.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth checking out because everyone's going to have a little.
And if you didn't see Afterlife, please see it first because it will make your movie watching experience of Frozen Empire so much better.
Yeah. Afterlife, I think, is solid. I think it's pretty solid. Awesome. That's just me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, cool. It was also just nice to see a movie in the theater with my family during Easter and just to see it with my mom again and my sisters. That was special.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. So I saw it on Easter, too, and there weren't that many people there.
Maybe that's
the
way to go. It was early.
It was like 11 a.m.
Oh, nice. Before the bunny came to visit.
Before the bunny. Bunny's still doing most of its heavy lifting around then.
Nice.
But I have a question for you.
Oh, gosh. What could it be?
It is this. What else have you been watching?
I have been watching, like the rest of the state,
yeah,
the new Top Chef that is based in Milwaukee, Madison, Wisconsin, with pride in my heart and a box of tissues because I am crying all the time. You guys know I'm very proud of where I live.
Yeah.
This place isn't perfect. Nowhere is, but to be able to see so many, even just street shots of things that I love, places I go. I mean, Milwaukee's such a special town, and now the rest of the country, nay the world, gets to learn about it.
I agree. I like that they're showing them one a week.
Mm-hmm.
However, I want to binge it so bad.
Yeah.
But seeing all the street shots and references, and they're doing a challenge with hops, and they're gonna do one with cheese, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Cranberries.
And then, yeah. And then seeing all like the local restaurateurs and stuff. And I've already been introduced to a restaurant I have never heard of that I'm like, oh, we're going there next week. Like, we gotta get out there.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
There's great food in this city when that's awesome that they're highlighting it.
It's good to take notes. The episode that just aired that we watched, they were working with hops, and so their big fancy dinner were in the Miller Caves.
Oh,
have
yeah,
you
that's
ever
right.
been down in the Miller
no,
Caves?
No, I haven't.
I've gotten to be down there twice. One was for a Radio Milwaukee event with a bunch of donors. It was such a beautiful location where we were talking about our educational programs. And then the second time was to see... oh my gosh, I'm spacing on his name. He's a comedian. He plays like a banjo and had
John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly's band played down there.
That's the first time I heard about the caves is that he was having a show down there. And I'm like, what are these caves? And it looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been really cool. They even had the local comedian on
Charlie Barron.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, this is wild.
I DJ'd his brother's Andy's wedding, and Charlie, I remember Andy telling me, my brother's a comedian in LA and he's probably going to want to like MC the night so you don't have to worry about that. I'm like, oh good.
Yeah.
And then in my head I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I've been to a lot of weddings where everyone thinks they're really funny. Charlie Barron's, that was my first introduction. And so it's so cool not only to see him selling out places all over the country, just played Riverside Theater, but then to see him having dinner in the Miller Caves with like all these chefs that I would give anything to like have been a part of. Like I didn't get an invite to any of it. I guess that's the hardest thing about watching this is I would have loved to be there.
I'm always fascinated by cooking shows like Bake Off and Top Chef because why are we watching when we can't taste it? I mean, one,
I have
it
to
looks,
have a snack while I'm watching it, though.
It does look great. And they do say the first part of your meal you eat with your eyes.
Yeah.
I learned that from Top Chef. And I get it because I do look at it. I'm like, that looks like it would be tasty.
Mm-hmm. Or it looks like I wouldn't eat that.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's been so cool watching that show. I'm going to keep every time it comes on.
Yeah. And the rest of you guys, I know you're feeling the pride. I mean, I get texts every week from my mother-in-law who lives in Ohio talking about different things. And one of the places we took her and she recognized it and it was really cool. So is that what you want to use for what you've been watching? I feel like you've been watching something else.
No, generally, yes, I want that to be. I want to go all in on that too.
Yeah.
But I will say quickly, I just watched the Martin Scorsese film After Hours. From 1985. I've never seen it before. It's one of the, like, it's kind of missing. It's one of his few comedies. It's,
that seems weird to say.
I know.
Martin
Scorsese. Rosanna Arquette and Griffin Dunn,
ooh,
Linda Fiorentino, Terry Garr. It's one of those, it's a lot like The Warriors. It's just a guy trying to get home so he can go to sleep. and all these
odd... It's the story of my life.
Exactly. Why do all these oddities keep occurring to me? I'm just trying to sleep.
I'm just trying to get a nap
in. It was really good. It was one of Milwaukee film member has been asking me for years, have you seen it yet? Have you seen it yet? And I was meeting with her today, and I'm like, I got to see it before I see her next time. So I'm glad I did. It was great.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So what question should we ask that people could answer on Instagram if they made it all the way to the end of this podcast?
Something ghost related?
Ooh. Besides Ghostbusters, what is your favorite ghost themed film?
That's a good one. What's your favorite ghost movie?
There's so many.
Here, first one, Ghost.
Ghost, obviously.
Brilliant.
Oh, speaking of Easter eggs going back, I think there was some references to other movies about possession and ghosts in this Ghostbusters film, Frozen Empire.
Oh, really?
Like when that little thing went into the car. The way they filmed how the
Christine.
Yeah, it was very Christine-like.
I thought
wasn't
that
it?
When I watched it, but it was so quick. I was like, oh, it's like little Christine. I actually did think someone was going to say something. Oh, like make a reference.
Make a reference to it. I think that was just for those of
it was
you
just
who
a
know.
Visual,
you know,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Or then Maximum, was it Maximum Overdrive?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where the trucks are possessed.
Yeah, go see it. Go see, if you don't go see this, go see something in the theater, man.
Yeah, and next week we'll give you a bunch of options because the Milwaukee Film Festival is coming up. So the next 2 weeks following this podcast, we're going to give you week one previews and week two previews.
That's right. Milwaukee Film Festival 2024 starts April 11th, goes through April 25th. Check it out. It's going to be fun.
Check it out. Okay, so we would like to thank our new producer of this podcast, Marcus Doucette.
Marcus Doucette, welcome to the Cinebuds family.
Thanks, buddy.
And that family includes, of course, Newski, who does our wonderful theme song.
And, you know, you can't have family without the people that financially support it. So shout out and love and flowers and rainbows to Associated Bank.
Associated Bank, we'll see you at the festival, too. I know that. And we want to thank our members, who I will also see at the festival, from Radio Milwaukee and from Milwaukee Film. And we'll see you at Footloose, Cinebuds Live Footloose.
Save the date.
On 414 Milwaukee Day.
Yep. After we watch the 40th anniversary of the movie, we will be doing a live Cinebuds taping. So get your questions ready and you can be on the podcast with us.
We'll see you then.
Bye.